Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Truly, those who are redeemed and called by his name should pause for the cause and just give thanks unto the Lord at this very day and at this very hour. If there was ever a time that we need to show an attitude, listening audience, of gratitude, that time is here and now. Considering all of the madness and the hysteria that's going on in today's society, isn't it good to know that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, according to Psalms 91 in the first verse? It's good to know that we have a safe place and a safe haven, yes, that we can go to, that we can refrain from the madness of society. And we see so many things that are occurring that are just beyond explanation to any level or any degree, even science and all of its advancements and enhancements cannot begin to explain what's going on. Many have referred to it as being a very evolutionary time of mankind. That's right, that the earth is also going through an evolutionary process. Yes, some of it has referred to as atmospheric interference or interception. Some are blaming it on the 5G compository that's fueling our cell phone devices and our technological devices. Some people believe that it's an alien intervention or an alien presence on this very planet that's causing all this madness. The weather is unpredictable. Areas in our geographical specificity are experiencing weather occurrences that have never happened there before. Yes, violence, crimes against humanity, violence geared toward children. This is just one page after the other. I've even spoke to some of my colleagues who have said to me, you know what, I'm to the place now I really don't even like to listen to the news. I don't even want to read the news tabloids because there's always something going on in this society that will shake you and if not, break you. But you know, I'm comforted. And you should be comforted too, those of you who have came to the knowledge and the understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he told us that in the last days, men would be lovers of themselves. They would be given over to much wine. They would be riotous, violent, aggressive, disrespectful, disobedient to parents. You're confrontational, unbelievers, that the very epitome of this society would turn upside down. And that's what's happening now. So knowing that God, through his only begotten Son, who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he foretold us of all these things, wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. He foretold us all these things. He told us in his word that I am the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. So knowing that he is the victory, and if we anchor our trust and our hopes in him, we have the victory. All we have to do is stand still and know that he is God and see the salvation of the Lord. That's all that we have to do. That's all we have to do. We don't have to become fretful, aggravated, fearful. That's right. We don't have to become afraid, paranoid, you know, operating in a spirit of fear. Because, see, fear itself, listen to the audience, listen to me here on the Man of Speaking on this glorious and victorious day it is. It is Tuesday. Yes, it is. March the 26th, 2024. You know, society does not believe this, but it's the truth. He said, fear have a torment. Fear will have you afraid to go outside of your door. Fear will have you where you're skeptical about drinking the water. Fear will have you fearful of eating the food. Fear will have you fearful of really indulging in social gatherings, even going outside of your perimeter or your AKA safe haven, it will have you to a point that you will isolate yourself. Let me tell you something. Fear has a torment, but the word of God tells us that perfect love, love for God, adoration for him, respect for him, cancels out all fear. It cancels it. It removes it. Perfect love. And it's saying that we're perfect? No. But our love and our adoration, our anchoring should be in God. That's right. And he removes the fear factor. That's right. We cannot operate in a spirit of fear. Well, the scripture tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mind, wherewith we cry, Abba, which means help us, Father. And he is our help. As David said, I will lift mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. And my help cometh from the Lord that has made heaven and earth. He that keepeth thee does not slumber, neither does he sleep. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Isn't that a wonderful assurance that we have when we're anchoring in God, when we're putting our focus upon him, doing his will, his work, his way? That's right. And we are accepting the assignment that he has given us. All of our assignments or our works, our ministries are not the same. Everyone's work and ministry is not in a congregational setting. God has set some of us within the community where the heat of the battle is taking place. God has set some of us in education where we can bring about the positive transformation of the environment in itself, of the workers within itself, within the students, that's right, within the families, within the community, in which God assigned me well over 30 years ago. I didn't understand my assignment. I'm going to give you personal testimony. Sometimes, that's why the scripture tells us, he that ministers should wait upon his ministry. I had to wait. I didn't understand why I was sent to the educational setting. Had numerous opportunities to become a writer. Even had received an invitation to take on an apprenticeship with Disney. That's right. Years back, had various works of my poetic compositions that were published through the National Journal and in the National Congress of Library of Congress. That's right. With the World of Poetry. Had numerous publications. Have wrote a writer's manual. That's right. The Power of Picturesque Public Speaking. And sad to say, to this day, we're out of copies. But if God moves upon me again, I'm going to rewrite it because I have so many individuals who are in ministry, who are in any other venues that require public speaking and being able to engage the audience are asking for training and for information. So that's going to come up in the month and perhaps the year to come. We're going to wait. We're going to wait and get the signal from God because, see, sometimes, and here's a revelatory word of knowledge, and listen to this. I had already told many of you that the year of 2024, in which we're in now, is going to be a year of revelations. The first thing you guys thought about, oh, the book of Revelation. That's in part an engagement as well. But I told you there was going to be a lot of revealing things that were coming into fruition, that were hidden. They were hidden in plain view, and that those things would manifest and it would impact society. I told you that was coming. And I even told some of you about the weather patterns, what was going to happen. See, man can only do but so much. It's all in God's hands. He controls. The scripture tells us, Psalms 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, them and all they that dwell therein. This is God's earth. Satan will never have ownership of the earth. The society, the world is what we refer to society as the world. Now, he's having a ball with that, but he knows his time is coming up real short, and he's about to be not only erased, he's going to be eradicated, and all they that bow to him. that took on his name and took on his emblem are going to be removed as well. So when things are going to get to the heated point and at the last moment of desperation, don't oftentimes things become more adverse? It's the truth. It becomes more adverse. It becomes more confrontational and more aggressive because he doesn't want to go out without a fight. But he does know and he recognizes that the Almighty is already going to triumph. And the true children of the Almighty God are going to triumph as well. That's right. And he knows this. So he's doing everything he can in every level of society to draw men, draw women, persuade children to follow him. But listen, you don't have to, because Jesus is the victory that overcometh this world and even our faith. As we stand forth, stand up, and stand fast, he will deliver us. He will make a way out of no way. Because, you know, not only is he Jehovah Rapha, which is Lord God our healer, he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God our provider. That's right. He is all of those things. Jehovah to serve, that's right. He is. That's right. Jehovah Nissi, Lord God our banner, to serve our righteousness, that's right. And Jehovah Tiskanu, he is the God of our very existence, of our being. He's all of that. Yahweh, he is the way. God has so many personalities that if we were to take time and explore, we would see the various facets of his personality, of his power, his unwavering power, which is omnipotent. Say it with me, omnipotent, all-powerful, can translate in so many ways. Well, when you need a healer, he's Jehovah Rapha. When you need a waymaker, he's Jehovah Jireh. That's right. When you need a counselor, he's Jehovah to serve your righteousness. All of these magnificent personalities replicate God. And he is, whether you're in whatever denomination, he is creator of this universe. He is creator of all life upon earth. That's right. He is the master of the universe. There is no question. There can be no confrontation. That's right. There can be no competition. He is all that there is. When he said, I am that I am, that consummates everything. No more questions. No more inquiries. It's all been verified. And when we get to the point when we stand fast and not be moved, God will allow us to see his hand move on our behalf. Amen. Amen it is. And thank you here in the continental U.S. of A, in Canada, South America, Europe, Asia, Australia, Africa, Antarctica, for tuning in to the manner of speaking. And I've been getting a few emails saying, where have you been for the last 2 weeks on the battlefield? Fighting the good fight of faith. Sometimes the fight of faith takes us away from our platform. And we have to engage, whether it's in counseling, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in direct ministering to various individuals within a certain compository. We have to be obedient. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So I was working. I wasn't relaxing. I wasn't having a vacation. But I was about my Father's business, ministering to those who need our help. That's right. And sometimes, listen to this, it takes us out of the comfort zone. But see, God knows what he's doing. If we let go and let him, he'll direct us in the blessed path of righteousness that will be fruitful and multiplicious to us one and all. Let me share a little small testimony with you today before we get into the very essence of our program. You know, it was really a wonderful occurrence. Now, many of you might say, oh, that's so mediocre. That's small. That's nothing to talk about. But no, I thank God for every little miracle and every great big miracle. And I know many of you might say that's rather, you know, minuscule to even mention it, but I'm going to mention it. I was out earlier today taking care of some businesses. You know, sometimes we put our business off putting the affairs of other people ahead of ourselves. And I said, so I went into an actual merchant, and I had went in for one thing, and you know how it is, especially with us as women. We can't ever go into an establishment, let the truth be told, and get that one thing. We can't do it. So knowing how I am, I went in for that one thing, and the one thing multiplied to about 25 things, okay? And I said, no, I'm going to keep myself under subjection. I'm going to limit my spending. You know, we have to be wise as serpents. Yet harmless as doves, we have to be wise. So I called myself being wise, and I got the things that I really did need. I wasn't planning on getting them, but I got them because they weren't easy, accessibility, and affordable. So I have put two items back. But one was a necessitable item. The other one was rather accessory because I could have done without it because I have, you know, numerous other provisions in that category. But lo and behold, there was a wonderful lady. I never got to get her name, but I'm going to tell you how God is so good. This lady looked at me and she says, is that yours? I said, yes. I said, I'm trying to limit myself to my spending. She says, no problem. This is for you. She actually got my purchase for me. That's right, my secondary purchase, not my major purchase that I came in and got the things that I needed. But the other thing that I did, one I did need, the other one I could have did without, she was so kind. She said, well, it's Easter. And she said, and this is a good measure for you. And I blessed her in the name of the Lord. I told her, God bless you. Thank you so much. And I saluted her. That's right. And I told her, thank her so much. And then may God continue to bless her. I know she was already blessed. And her family. And those within her circle. And I prayed again for her. And I had to tell the person I was with about what happened. And he responded somewhat, you know, oh, you know, in a way of gratitude. He said, well, that was really nice of her. I said, yes. I said, God does extraordinary things through ordinary people. And I said, it may be small to you and to others, but to me, that act of love, that act of kindness really helped to make my day. So I just wanted to give acknowledgement to her. Didn't know her name, but I just pray God's blessings upon her. And remember, the most, what you deem as the most insufficient can be a great thing in the lives of others. That's right. And so we should be mindful of these things, lest at any time we should let them slip. Because I, too, have been on the other end. I have been behind people who didn't have enough to meet their purchase. And you know what? I felt the necessity to step up. See, when you do good, good will come back. And I didn't do it to get anything out of it. It gave me joy to be able to help somebody. I just love to help others. I get a joy from that. I like to see the elation upon their faces, that smile, the lightness of their spirit, the vibrancy of their character. It means a lot because what you do, and you do it to honor God, he gets the glory from it. And when you glorify God in your good deeds, God is going to multiply his blessings upon you. That's right. And so many times we always think, oh, money came to me. Well, God knows what we need before we even ask. And a lot of times it is financial blessings. That's right. Because that was a blessing to me. Sometimes God, there's things in our bodies. Are you listening to me? Precious pilgrims, are you listening? There's things in our bodies that are going on that we don't even know about. And oftentimes God removes those things out of our bodies, and we don't even know it. See, so blessings come in various ways, means, and measures. And however God blesses us, we should be satisfied. I said, blessing to me already is to live what God promised me. And somebody said, you know what, you're going to be past 100 when you leave. You know what, I praise God for that. For longevity, having a long, healthy life, no illnesses, As our blessed sister Shirley Stevens said, she's going on 86. She said she's never had a sick day in her life. All I can say is just look at God. That's what I'm talking about. That's a blessing in itself, because you can be a multi-billionaire, and if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. You can be a multi-trillionaire, and if you don't have a peace of mind and you don't know God and don't have a relationship with him, you don't have anything. That's right. So when you have financial prosperity, that's a privilege from God. I call that a privilege. And you have your excellent health, that's another privilege. And longevity, that's an additional privilege. Be thankful unto the Lord. You're already there. That's right. And we should just be thankful for the little things. You know, many people say, I would be glad to just hit the Mega Millions. That's nice. But guess what? If you don't have your health and your strength, if you don't have your right mind, if you don't have the peace of God that passes all understanding, that will rule your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus, you still don't have anything. So when you have it and you have all of these other gifts, you are blessed. Share the blessing. God makes us to be a blessing. When we are blessed, we're to be a blessing to others. That's how God is glorified. And don't go out and start preaching and telling people about what I did for this person, because I did it from my heart. Don't nobody have to know. And you know, Jesus told us, don't do our alms in public. Don't do our good deeds in public. See, that's the Pharisee spirit. The Pharisees did good out in public where people could marvel at them, could look at them, could revel at them and say, my, did you see what he did? Did you see how he prayed? No. He says, do your alms in secret. He said, he that seeth you in secret, which is God, nothing is hidden from him, will reward thee openly. That's the way you do it. That's how you get your blessings. So many of you have been wondering, well, I've been doing this in the community. I've been helping some of the women that don't have husbands. I've been helping some of the children that don't have a strong parent figure. But you're doing it to glorify God. You don't need to tell that to anybody. God sees, and he will give the reward. He told us to go into the vineyard and work. And whatsoever is right, I will pay you. He'll do it. He'll do it every time. Even King David said, thou preparest a table before me, before the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. You refresh me, and my cup runneth over. That means the abundance of your presence and your blessings just overtake me, just overshadow me. And that's what God wants to do in each and every one of our lives. So be encouraged. Stand up and see the salvation of the Lord. Speak his name. Give him praise. Give him honor. Give him glory. Give him a time of reverence in your day. You don't have to make a long, repetitious prayer, because, you know, God doesn't favor that kind of behavior. You don't have to be loud to be heard. Say within yourself, Father God, I thank you. And just watch how your day turns out. Those very people with those evil energies, those negative forecasts, will stay away from you, because the angel of the Lord, that's right, watches over those who fear him, and they deliver them. That's right. So many times we get delivered from things we don't know about. You know, incidents from last week, had I been present at that time when the incident occurred, I would have been impacted. Look at God. Just thank God for the small things. Have you ever sat down and just considered to the great things that he does, protecting us? We don't even know we're being protected. Sometimes that enemy in his wickedness tries to even infiltrate our sleep, because we're also flesh. You know, the Spirit of God does not always strive with man. Read the words. Well, that he is also flesh. And then we're in dreamland. Sometimes we dream things that are not very pleasant. And the enemy is trying his best to divert us from our mission and away from our. And God keeps us and protects us even in our dreams. Bless his name. He watches over us. You don't know what type of individual may be lurking in your community. Many people say, oh, living out of the suburb, let me tell you something. The enemy is running rampant everywhere. But when he sees the blood, he will pass right over you. He'll go past you. He can't come. He can't come where the blood is. He's afraid of the blood because he knows what the blood did for mankind. It redeemed mankind from his iniquity. It redeemed mankind from eternal separation from God. So when he sees that blood, he keeps going. And you don't know, sometimes you're laying down sleeping peaceful and the angel of the Lord are encamped around you and won't let that predator into habitation, come into your place where you live, your dwelling. That's right. Things may be going on with your health at night and you don't know about it because you're asleep. Father God makes it pass by you where it does not afflict your body or cause you bodily harm, hurt, or endanger you. Father God does it. So think of all the benefits and the privileges that God gives us. It goes a very long way. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this early week time of fellowship, a fellowship time that we come together as a unit of one to give thanks unto you, for you are worthy of honor, glory, and praise. We're asking that you bless your word, that it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. In thy blessed Son Jesus' name, there be any afflicted in the body or the mind or in the spirit, Father God, we ask that you become Jehovah Rapha and that you would be our healer. If there be any that are in lack, in limitation, or in financial destitution, we're asking that you would be Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, our provider. And Father God, to those who are lost to seek their way, we're asking that you be the Yahweh, the Almighty God, that would bring your children back to the fold and renew us and endue us with power from our on high. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Father God, we praise you, we glorify you exceedingly. Amen. That's right. Oh, what a wonderful time indeed it is just to have fellowship with the Lord. And sometimes, you know what, that fellowship doesn't have to be overextensive. It can just be simply sitting down and just saying, Father God, I praise you. I acknowledge you. I consider you. I exalt your name. You know, God is glorified by that. He is glorified when we take time out to acknowledge him. That's right. Now, we're going to go very quickly back to the book of Genesis, and we're going to be coming back to you in the upcoming weeks because we want to get through to Genesis because Genesis builds the foundation for believers on today. You know, mankind went through various translations before he got to the era of grace and truth. And Genesis gives us the very platform in which these particular events were characterized upon. And we're going to go to the book of Genesis, 25th chapter, and then we'll finish up later on in the week. And you know the world is observing Easter. Well, listen, Christ should be resurrected within our lives each and every day because he is the victory that overcometh the world. Don't wait for the world to present their way of paganism, their holiday for us to give acknowledgement unto God. That acknowledgement is supposed to be perpetuated and continual. That's right. Every day we should. The 25th chapter of the book of Genesis, first verse. Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Madan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shura. So there's more children from Abraham. So we already knew about Isaac. We already knew about Ishmael. But here are the additional children of Abraham through his next wife, Keturah. And Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Lethurim, and the human, and the sons of Midian, Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abadah, Eldah, all these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. You know, Isaac had the anointing upon him. But unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 115 years. So calculating that, 3 score, that's right, here we look. 100, we know what 100 looks like. So, and we say 15 years. So many estimate that between 165 and 175 years of age, that this is when Abraham lived. So he was a ripe old age. Can you notice a pattern here? That the lifespan seems to be getting shorter and shorter because man's consciousness has been levied out and his behavior has become more adverse and wicked, and it's impacting the overall environment of the planet. And that's why we see that the years become more and more short span. Then Abraham gave up the ghost, that means he passed, and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. That is the will of God, that we all live to our golden years. That's right. But we live past 100. And 100 means a century. That's right. So here this man, he lived way past that. Between 165 and 175 years of age, he lived. That's right. Not too far from becoming 200 years old. So that's the will of God for us. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael bury him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron. The son of Zahar and the Hittite, which is before Mamre. The field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, then was Abraham buried and Sarah's his wife. So they were buried together. That's right. They signed a contract together, and therefore she was acknowledged as the honorable wife. And it came to pass, the 11th verse, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lehi. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid, Sarah's handmaid, bear unto Abraham. Now here are the generations of Ishmael. Don't forget, Ishmael is also one of the, you know, children of Abraham. When Sarah, who was at that time called Sarai, thought she could not have children, she allowed her husband Abraham to go with Hagar to bear a child. And as a result, Sarah, or Sarai, who she was at that time, was somewhat envious and felt as though she was derailed. And she, as a result, she mistreated Hagar, and Hagar left. But nevertheless, Hagar bare him a son, Ishmael. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names according to their generations. The first one of Ishmael was called Nabathel, and Kedar, and Ahabel, and Mishah, and Mishma, and Duma, and Masa. Hadar and Tema, Jatur, Nafish, and Chidima. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are the names by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. Now you see, 12 disciples, 12 apostles. Now we're going to see the very 12 sons of the promise. That's right, they're coming up. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years old. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. And these are the generations of the nations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. the daughter of Bethuel in Assyrian, of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And at that period of time, when a woman was considered barren, she was looked down upon. She was frowned upon as not being a real woman. And many believed that she had committed an infraction as to why she could not bear children. But you know what? After he entreated the Lord, he made his petition known of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. There were two nations inside of Rebekah. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to deliver were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like a hairy garment. So he was fair complected. That's why you could see the hair was red upon him. And they called his name Esau. And after that came the other out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So you take 80. They say, that's 70, okay? And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau. See, Esau was the wild man. He was the hunter because he did eat of his venison. And venison, if you don't know what venison is, that's deer, a very tender, very high-quality deer. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob sought pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. That means he came from the field. Esau was tired, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, because he was cooking. Jacob was preparing a meal for him and his mother and his father to eat. With that the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. So your birthright is like your contract with your family, that you're going to have an inheritance, a certain level of authorization that you foresee and you govern over various elements of that household. That's what the birthright encompassed. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? He said, I'm famished. I'm so hungry, I'm about to just pass out. So what good is a birthright going to do to me? A birthright is not going to feed me at this time because I'm famished, and or give me drink because I'm thirsty. What good is a birthright to me? And here is the response. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. That means pottage is a soup, like a stew, a thick stew. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. And so Esau got the point. It didn't matter to him. He was frustrated with the whole situation. He just simply wanted to get fed. Okay, so he was willing to do anything to get fed so that he would not faint away. Listen, we're going to come back later on this week. You know this is considered as Resurrection Sunday. We should always celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ as our Lord. He took the victory and handed it to the children of God. To God be the glory for his unspeakable gifts. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll tune in with you real soon. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby Phelps, known as the Motorcity Maharani, and the Holy Spirit, which is the divine teacher that gives us the wisdom that leads us and guides us into all manner of truth. Be blessed, and we'll see you real soon. Oh, yes.